president began what I've called an apology tour of going to the various nations in the Middle East and criticizing America. I think they looked at that and saw weakness. Mr. President, the reason I call it an apology tour is because you went to the Middle East and you flew to Egypt and to Saudi Arabia and to Turkey and Iraq. And, by the way, you skipped Israel, our closest friend in the region. But you went to the other nations. And by the way, they noticed that you skipped Israel. And then in those nations, on Arabic TV, you said that America had been dismissive and derisive. You said that on occasion, America had dictated to other nations. Mr. President, America has not dictated to other nations. We have freed other nations.
October the 23rd, 2012. Life begins anew for Recent Radio on recentradio.com and Recent Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Welcome back. 1 minute after the hour, right here on Recent Radio. I was actually in the middle of Facebook, and you know, the top of the hour, you know, I was doing a whole bunch of other stuff. I'm always late on something, folks. That's just me. I do what it is that I have to do. Anyway. The debate last night in Boca, fight night in Boca, as I called it. You know, look, I don't have to tell you folks every day how accurate I am. I don't have to tell you that. You know it. You realize it. You understand it. By the way, JC, the producer, who, by the way, is he in the studio right now? Let's make sure that we get JC into the studio. I'm not going to call him. But what do I have to do, folks? What do I have to do to prove that I know what I'm talking about here? What do I have to do? Did I not say last night that Libya was not going to be in the forefront, that it was going to be washed over? Did I not say that? Well, don't take my word for it. Well, in essence, you kind of have to. I guess you do. You kind of have to take my word for it because I'm the one who said it. So, tonight's going to be foreign policy debate. A foreign policy debate between Governor Mitt Romney and President Barack Obama. Predictions. I know you're looking for them. I am looking for them myself. Libya will be the hotbed here today, so will Iran. But don't get too caught up on the Libya, the Benghazi situation. Don't get caught up in there. That will get heated. I believe that Bob Schieffer, the moderator from CBS Face the Nation, will try to step lightly on this issue because he knows that it's coming the president's way. Schieffer might like a little bit. He might like the little, you know, tete-a-tete between the two. But when it gets out of hand, then it will get out of hand. Now, hopefully, I'll be then playing this audio tomorrow to tell you, see, I was right. Iran is the hotbed issue for most liberals, like Bob Schieffer. That is the hotbed issue. Bob Schieffer wants to pin Romney on the Iran nuclear deal. What will he do? Where will you strike if you will? Do you want to go to war with Iran? He will give President Barack Obama leeway to suggest that because they believe, liberals believe, that if they can turn that idea into the mindset of Americans, another war, but we hate war. That it will pin Romney against the ropes. Romney will shuffle. He'll try to dodge. I'm not saying I want to go to war. I'm trying to avoid war. But we've got to do something. Barack Obama's got no deal with Iran. He wants another 4 years to just capitulate. That's all he wants to do. If they get it, they get it. So what? What's the deal? You've talked to plenty of liberals in your life who say the same thing. Well, who cares if they get nuclear power? How do you know that they're going, what they're going to do with it? With it? Really? This country? This regime? Really? So that's what's going to be the focus here. Libya will not be a big focus. It'll get a little heated, but I promise you it will not get the attention that it deserves. The president will not be held accountable because Schieffer won't allow President Barack Obama to be pinned against the wall on this one and have to dodge and dip on questions. Mitt Romney will be forceful, but see, he's dealing with a problem here, folks. If he questions the president of the United States too harshly, and he should, don't get me wrong, it will be perceived by the press that he wouldn't let President Barack Obama come up for air. And that might be a problem for him. And a lot of knuckleheads will follow the narrative of the liberal press. Yeah, man, you know, he wouldn't let Barack Obama go. You know, what's so big? What's the big deal about this whole Benghazi thing? I don't know nothing about this, man. If I ain't heard about it, why is it important? Why did, oh, man, I don't want to listen to this, man. This ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about, man. The only thing I know about foreign policy is China and Jersey.
Oh, my God.
That's all I know about foreign affairs. You know what I'm saying? It's China and Jersey. Maybe some Koreans. I don't know nothing else. But they're not going to be able to. I don't think that Bob Schieffer is going to allow that to happen. I don't think that Bob Schieffer is going to allow President Barack Obama to have to fight his way through the Benghazi scandal. But Mitt Romney should press on, get answers, put that man in a position to defend himself. Now, some people are going to say, oh, well, Mitt Romney, he didn't give out any of his plans on foreign affairs because they spent so much time on Barack Obama and Benghazi. But that's because the left knows that if Barack Obama is forced to deal with that issue, if he's forced to, then he's lost. He's exposed as weak, inept, pathetic. I'll go with the latter on that one. I think he's pathetic. I think he's going to hurt himself badly. Because they're doing damage control over there in the Obama administration. They're doing damage control over there like crazy. And the reports, every time you turn around, somebody else is getting blamed for the failures. State Department here. Intelligence there. Folks that the intelligence community get blamed for weapons of mass destruction? No! George W. Bush did. So why doesn't the same hold true for Barack Obama?
Anyway, you got my point. Folks, I was right. There was no Benghazi. There was no holding President Barack Obama accountable. Didn't happen. Everybody was looking for it. They were waiting for it. But who was the one who said it wouldn't happen? That you were going to get nothing on Benghazi. It was me. I was the only one who said it. And I was the only one who was right. Why did I know this? Why did I know this? Well, I won't tell you my secrets, ladies and gentlemen. I won't tell you. I won't tell you my secrets.
I will tell you this about the debate last night. Sonor. I was bored. But you're supposed to be in a foreign policy debate. You are. Benghazi was the highlight for everybody else, and I knew I wasn't going to get what I wanted in the Benghazi thing, so I knew it was going to be a bore. Barry and I, literally, we were talking about China patterns. By the time 30 minutes in. We were talking about much more significant things. We were into China patterns, you know, shelf paper. We were having conversations about, you know, track lighting.
I don't know what we were talking about. But it was more about our personal lives. It was like... No big stories there. News media was just like, yeah, they had a bait. And they were more talking about these little cheap shots by Barack Obama than they were talking about anything else. You know, the bayonets thing. That was big. That's a big deal. Big deal to the left. Bayonets. We don't use bayonets anymore. And then ABC News reported today that 600,000 Marines are using bayonets. So we didn't use them anymore. It's just awful. I got to play this because this is important. It's important for me to play this. This is extremely important to play this. This is it right now. I got to play this. This is NBC News. And I want you to hear this. I'm going to put a challenge out to you people, folks. Tell me where it is that you can hear the bias from NBC News. They hate the fact that their president is losing. They hate it. Hate it. Well, pay attention to these reports. This is some long audio. You know, my monologue is going to be a lot of audio in the opening, and then we'll get into some other stuff because I got to talk about Donald Trump, and we'll get into that. That's a big deal tomorrow. That's a big deal tomorrow, but we'll get into that in 2 minutes. Just listen to NBC News and Brian Williams sucking the teat of the Obama campaign and his surrogates as well on NBC News.
It is now that the presidential debates are...
Oh, sorry. Did that wrong. Here we go.
It is now that the presidential debates are over, it is now clear each one of them had a plot line. At the first one, the president underperformed against an energized Governor Romney. At the second debate, both men were amped up. And then last night's plot line appears to be the president's foreign policy counterattack and Mitt Romney's movement to the center on a number of issues, decreasing the policy distance between the two men as 60 million Americans watched on live television. Starting today, there is a new sense of urgency out on the trail. Now the travel becomes urgent and frenetic. Every second counts, so does every state. We have it all covered, and we begin with NBC's Peter Alexander traveling with the Romney campaign in Henderson, Nevada. Peter, good evening.
Brian, good evening to you. As you just noted, nearly 60 million Americans watched last night's debate. In fact, that was the smallest number of the three presidential debates. But over the next 2 weeks, as they bounce across the country, effectively hopscotching one another, both sides believe tonight that they are in the driver's seat.
Kicking off their final 13 days toward the election, a split screen sprint to the finish. Barack Obama in Florida zeroing in on his opponent's trustworthiness.
Everything he's doing right now is to hide his real position and try to win this election. You can trust that I say what I mean. And I mean what I say.
Mitt Romney near Las Vegas, claiming the race's momentum and arguing that President Obama's campaign is about attacks, not solutions.
We haven't heard an agenda from the president, and that's why his campaign is taking on water and our campaign is full speed ahead.
With most polls still showing the race nearly deadlocked and early voters screaming to the polls, both sides are flooding the airwaves, hoping their last-minute message will resonate with undecided voters.
We're not there yet, but we've made real progress. And the last thing we should do is turn back now.
The Romney campaign already touting its performance in last night's foreign policy debate.
Mr. President, America has victory over other nations. We have freed other nations from dictators.
To emphasize his closing argument, the president today unveiled a 20-page booklet detailing a series of previously released positions, from boosting manufacturing jobs to raising taxes on the wealthy. A top Romney advisor today dismissed that as a, quote, glossy panic button.
Brian, and tomorrow the president begins a 48-hour, seven-state battleground blitz. Mitt Romney is going to hit a lot of those states as well, including Colorado, Iowa, Nevada one more time, and, of course, that critical battleground of Ohio.
Peter Alexander in Nevada starting us off tonight. Peter, thanks. And now to what happened last night, that third and final debate where the tone shifted yet again. As we said, so did some of the positions. We have two reports, beginning with our political director and chief White House correspondent, Chuck Todd. Chuck, good evening.
Oh, listen to me about Chuck Todd. Listen to me. Chuck Todd loves Obama. He loves him more than anything. He does. Trust me, he does. But when you hear Chuck Todd in this piece, tell me if there's someone who's woke up one morning and found out that his wife isn't home, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and he can't seem to understand why. Why is my wife not here? And then she walks in, maybe 5 o'clock, and she's a little drunk, a little tipsy. Her clothing is a little disheveled. That's Chuck Todd, the Obama campaign. Just listen. Just listen.
Good evening, Brian. Well, it was a contrasting debate strategy, not necessarily a contrast between the two candidates. The president and Mitt Romney seem to reverse roles from the very first debate, as President Obama seemed like the candidate that felt the need to try to change the contour of this race, and Mitt Romney deciding the best strategy was to play it safe.
In the third and final debate, the president wasted little time touting his foreign policy achievements.
We have to be on Iraq. We focus our attention on those who actually killed us on 9/11. And as a consequence, al-Qaeda's core leadership has been decimated.
Mitt Romney tried to poke holes in the president's record while attempting to stay above the threat.
I see Iran further pushing the bomb. I see the Middle East with a rising tide of violence, chaos, tumult. I see jihadists continuing to spread.
But for most of the debate, the president tried to belittle his Republican foes' lack of foreign policy experience.
Listen to me. This bothers Chuck Todd. That Obama tried to belittle Mitt Romney. It bothers him. That's why he mentioned it.
I know you haven't been in a position to actually execute foreign policy, but every time you've offered an opinion, you've been wrong.
And the president mocked Mr. Romney's repeated attempts to agree with many of his policies.
I can lecture him on taking out Osama bin Laden and going after leadership in al-Qaeda.
I'm glad that you agree that we have been successful in going after al-Qaeda. But I have to tell you that your strategy previously has been one that has been all over the map.
Both men did echo the other on an array of foreign policy declarations.
As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will not get a nuclear weapon.
A nuclear Iran, a nuclear capable Iran, is unacceptable to America.
I will stand with Israel if they are attacked.
We will stand with Israel. And if Israel is attacked, we have their back.
One of the few times Mr. Romney went hard at the president referred to this private remark caught on tape earlier this year between Mr. Obama and the former Russian president, Dmitry Medvedev.
I'm not going to win election. I have more questions.
I'm not going to wear rose-colored glasses when it comes to Russia or Mr. Putin. And I'm certainly not going to say to him, I'll give you more flexibility at the election.
By the way, devastating line. I'm definitely not going to say to Putin, I'm going to have more flexibility when I'm elected into office. Like you did, punk bitch. Moving on.
After election, we'll get more backbone.
But the president got traction responding to this frequent attack line from Mr. Romney.
The president began what I've called an apology tour of going to the various nations in the Middle East and criticizing America. And by the way, you skipped Israel, our closest friend in the region. But you went to the other nations. When I went to Israel as a candidate, I didn't take dollars. I didn't take dollars. Smaller now than any time since 1917. The Navy said they needed 313 ships to carry out their mission. We're now down to 285.
We also have fewer horses and bayonets because the nature of our military has changed.
Well, it is crunch time, Brian. 2 weeks to go. Here's the new NBC News battleground map. It is down. We've got it down to 7 states. Nevada, both campaigns seem to agree, leaning Obama, and North Carolina, both campaigns seeming to agree, leaning Romney. So we're looking at that Midwestern part of the country, Ohio, Iowa, Wisconsin, and, of course, Florida, maybe coming back
from 2000, Brian.
Chuck Todd, thanks for that. And all the agreement we just chronicled seemed to be a move to the center, as we said, by Governor Romney just 2 weeks before the election, taking positions he has not taken before.
Now, if that doesn't sound biased, folks, I don't know what does.
We get a check of some of the facts tonight from our chief foreign affairs correspondent, Andrea Mitchell.
Andrea Mitchell for the facts? Really? Going to Andrea Mitchell for the facts? Seriously? That's like going to Bernie Madoff for financial advice. For the facts? We went to this broad?
Andrea, good evening.
Good evening, Brian. Mitt Romney switched to a more moderate foreign policy last night, was clearly aimed at independent women voters, the so-called security moms. In the past, Romney has taken a hard line on the possibility of military action against Iran to stop its nuclear program. Last night, he emphasized diplomacy.
And of course, a military action is the last resort. It is something one can only consider if all of the other avenues have been tried to their full extent.
On Syria, Romney used to talk about the U.S. arming the rebels. Then 2 weeks ago, he said the U.S. should help allied partners arm the rebels. Last night, his emphasis was on avoiding a U.S. military role.
I don't want to have our military involved in Syria. I don't think there's a necessity to put our military in Syria at this stage.
Finally, on Benghazi, after spending more than a month, including in last week's debate, relentlessly attacking the president for security and intelligence failures, last night Romney was brief and unexpectedly mild.
Yes, he was. He was brief and unexpectedly mild. Oh, that had to drive them crazy. Oh, that had to drive them crazy. Because they were waiting for Barack Obama to have to answer it, and they were stunned. You too, Andrea. We move on.
We see in Libya an attack apparently by terrorists of some kind against our people there, four people dead, our hearts and minds go to them.
Iraq and also on the timetable for withdrawing from Afghanistan, Romney also noted his fault of his division, clearly having decided that undecided voters or swing voters are more likely to choose a moderate Republican than a hawk.
Than a hawk. A hawk is what Andrea Mitchell said. Instead of a hawk. Absolutely disgusting. I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say other than, oh, you know I was right. You know I was. It's Reset Radio. Stick around. We'll be back. Right here on Block.
Is about to get a little bit easier. Pretty soon you'll be able to text or tweet emergencies thanks to a multi-million-dollar state grant. Tonight, Gigi Barnett reports on the new system and how it's putting Maryland on the cutting edge of technology.
Who's the shooter? Tell me who's the shooter.
Life-threatening calls that pour into the state's 911 center come by phone, but now there's a new way to reach out for help. Texting, even tweeting 911.
There's so many different calls coming in for more important matters, so maybe the texting will help reach them faster.
The new system is called Next Generation 911, and state police bought it for about $7 million. With it, troopers who handle about 3% of Maryland's calls will have more technology to track crime and deliver help.
So if they're on a cell phone traveling down the highway, we can actually follow that cell phone down the highway and make sure we give the fastest and best response.
Okay, sure, I can help. You should ask you a few questions, okay?
Right now, most of the state's police barracks don't have an automated answering machine. Operators turn to old-fashioned 10-digit numbers to receive calls. Some say texting may clog the system, and calling is still the best option.
They already don't answer the phones in enough time. How are they going to get to reading the text messages today?
I don't Twitter, and I don't tweet, and I don't text, so I just use the phone and talk. So
I like that better.
The state plans to test its texting system first. The Eastern Shore will receive the program next year, and then by 2014, every other call center across the state will be able to receive texts for help. I'm Gigi Barnett, WJZ Eyewitness News.
And the news system also responds.
Got your little mat wearing your Toms. My name is Dave from that Whole Foods song. You wanna meditate with me? I'm like, well anyway, I guess you better be going. The last thing I wanna do is stop your vinyasa from flowing. You need some mat space, go on, be about it.
It's just that Vinny's class gets so damn crowded.
Yeah, that's what I heard, it gets pretty tight. What's up for later though, you wanna try to grab a bite? We could hit up Revolution or the Earth Cafe, have a vegan cookie and talk about your day. Or we could take a walk down by the ocean, I heard those hip openers release a lot of emotion. It's all good though, you know, like either way, you feel like going with me?
Nah, I'm gonna stay.
Hey yo, girl.
Guy, but just not my scene. I think your third eye could maybe use some Visine. Your breathing sounds just a little heavy, cool guy. You need to come to class and learn some Ujjayi. I know you see me every single day like Groundhog, and I appreciate it, but I'm not down, dog. I'm gonna grab a coconut water and be on my way. I wish you peace and blessings. Namaste.
Hey, yo, girl.
Love to get to know ya. I got a couple next level poses I can show ya. My first choice, rub lotion on my fifth joint. It's thoughts of you that keep my man Duca Matt moist. Your aura's glowing, your Taria's steady flowing. I signed you up for my newsletter without you knowing. I wanna fly your whole posse to Varanasi, or we can go to Goa and sip some mango lassi. Cause I love it when you call me Big Baba. I wanna explore your bodhisattva, unblock my chakras. You got my fourth level exposed. When you fold them Lululemons in a bow pose, you're like a model with that metal water bottle always with you. Trying to be sleepy vision, straight up.
Hey yo, girl.
BlogTalkRadio.com. It is approaching the bottom of the hour on this October the 23rd, 2012. I have an interesting person on the line right now, and that is my nephew, Justin. And I know he's made an announcement, so I need to give him the opportunity to make that announcement today. And so let's talk to him. Live on Recent Radio. He hasn't been on for a while. Justin, hello.
Hello.
Okay. I hear recently that you've had a change of heart.
I did.
Well, please explain this to me so that I can understand what's going on.
What am I explaining, first of all?
Your position on the election.
Oh, okay. Well, I changed. I mean, I just, this is how it goes. I mean, I changed from Barack Obama to Mitt Romney. I mean,
what happened?
What happened? Be honest, I don't know what happened.
You don't know what happened? Come on, man.
What I know is that I have changed.
You have changed?
Yes.
So you are supporting Mitt Romney in this upcoming election?
Yes.
Is there something that happened personally that I don't know about, or, I mean,
no.
What exactly took place here?
Well, you know, I just don't think that we're, let me just say this. I don't think that we will succeed with Barack Obama.
Come on, this had to come from somewhere. Come on. I mean, this is just, for me, it's epic.
It came from me.
So you just, I mean, outright, you just felt as though this was something that you needed to change your view on? Was it based on something? I mean, what was the deal?
I mean, the reason I changed, but like I just said, I don't think that we could. We can't last 4 more years with Barack Obama, and because if we do, then we may end up in, you know, I don't know what we're going to end up in.
But, a financial disarray, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
So
yeah,
how, because you're not old enough to vote yet. Now, how, in fact, will you be influencing others, or will you be influencing others to support Mitt Romney as opposed? And will you be getting some backlash? Have you been receiving some backlash?
No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet, but, you know, it's possible. I mean, it's possible, I guess.
Do you think that your peers, because you're a younger person, that you might be getting some backlash, like from some of your peers who are your age? Will you be getting some backlash from people, you know, who are in your age range?
I might.
Have you not expressed this to them yet?
No.
But
it will happen.
Are you hiding from those people?
No. But
okay,
I will tell people, like, I don't know. They'll find out.
I believe that they will.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm just concerned that your friends and your colleagues may turn around and call you a turncoat. I mean, have you heard anything about this constant barrage of death threats towards Mitt Romney if he is to be elected? Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, you don't – this is my thing. Why – I don't care who is running president. I don't care who's president. I don't think you should threaten somebody that You don't threaten anybody, but definitely the President of the United States or whoever runs president, I don't think that they deserve to be shot.
Well, that's what bothers me the most is that these are people who are supposed to be, you know, the most loving, caring, and giving and understanding people in the world, unless, of course, you don't agree with them. I mean, that doesn't bother you at all. I mean, it would bother the heck out of me, because I know it bothers me. It bothers me that these people who claim to be so, you know, loving and giving and wanting, I find that odd that there are people out there who are willing to threaten violence, who are supposed to be liberals. I find that, for me, it's striking. I mean, it really, really makes me go, wow. I don't think I can put it any other way. It shocks the crap out of me. You know, you couldn't say that about President Obama, could you, in 2008, could you? If there were people out there who said that they would assassinate him, because I don't believe that I heard reports in the like to President Obama's nomination to the Democratic Party, people who made threats against him in Denver were arrested. But I don't see anybody making a move to at least vilify people who are threatening Mitt Romney. It's almost like that's okay for them to threaten Mitt Romney. It's a little scary that people are doing this, you know?
I mean, murder, death, kill, murder, death, kill, murder, death, kill.
But I just wanted to mention that. But stay on the line. Stick around. We're going to bring Dennis the Menace in Massachusetts. Dennis the Mass Menace. That's what JC calls him now. We're going to get into that in a couple of minutes because I want to talk about that, and I have to talk about the Donald Trump October surprise that is going to happen tomorrow, and we'll do that in a couple of minutes. I wonder exactly what it's going to be and whether or not it's going to be something that is plausible or whether or not it's going to be something straight out of the X-Files. Jake,
I'll let you take a stab at it.
What's that?
I'd like to take a stab at it.
Well, don't take a stab at it now. We'll take a break because we're going to get into it shortly. We'll get into it in a little bit because I definitely want to get into it. There are people who are speculating on what it's going to be. I think that I know what this bombshell is going to be tomorrow. We're going to get into that in a little bit. Get in touch with Mike and Edward and Sal and all those guys. I'd love to hear what it is that they think it is because I think this is important. Donald Trump claims that there's going to be – well, he didn't use the word bombshell. Well, I'm using the word bombshell. But he says that it's something that everyone's going to be talking about tomorrow. I have an idea. But, folks, listen, I am right now the prognosticator of all prognosticators. I'm right. I'm always right. I'm going to boost my accuracy rating up to 90 right now. I have to. I got two in a row in the debates. I got two in a row. There's no dispute. 90% accurate. I think it's only right. I need to start getting out there I need to get out there in the betting field. You know, do some Las Vegas betting. I think I need to. I think I'm accurate here. Well, we'll talk about Donald Trump when we get back. Stick around, folks. Give me a couple of minutes. We'll be right back. Streets on the Radio.
Bill restores America's basic bargain of providing opportunity and demanding in return responsibility. This bill will help people to go to work so they can stop drawing a welfare check and start drawing a paycheck.
Why should an able-bodied person receiving welfare benefits not be required to work?
I believe it's an important change. Yes, people ought to work,
hardworking American citizens should not be required to carry people.
I introduced a concept of workfare in 1986. I remember being pilloried by my colleagues on the Democratic side at the time for suggesting that there be mandatory work requirement for anyone receiving welfare.
I was not a huge supporter of the federal plan that was signed in 1996.
I would not probably have supported the federal bill that was passed.
The Obama administration quietly offered to issue waivers to the work requirements in the law.
Blog Talk Radio.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The come adult on. Beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Today does mark the beginning of the end.
The most sweeping economic recovery package in history. The package is the right size, it is the right scope, it has the right priorities to create 3 to 4 million jobs. The federal government is the only entity left with the resources to jolt our economy back into life.
3.5 million jobs over the next 2 years.
Look at me, the stimulus is working.
Only 8 out of every 10 stimulus dollars for wind power have gone to foreign companies.
Not even a good junk bond.
Unemployment is still very high.
It appears that 1.2 million people dropped out of the labor force in 1 month.
Well, I'm not going to say the recession is over until the unemployment rate is down to normal levels, certainly in the 5% range.
It knew the cars would be assembled in
Finland. The FBI raided bankrupt
manufacturing jobs in China.
$700,000 to create joke-telling software.
I didn't overpromise.
Shovel ready was not as shovel ready as we expected.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Last night, Dan Rather, who canceled his appearance on The Factor, talked with Jon Stewart about liberalism in the national media.
I know what it's why they believe that CBS, NBC, ABC, chock full of liberals. Not true. But chock full of people wanted to give honest news, straightforward news, and voted both ways in many elections. I'm not saying that nobody in the newsroom was liberal any more than I say anybody conservative. Frequently what happened, people who are described as those and conservatives want to say, I work at CBS News and you know almost everybody there was liberal.
Yeah.
What they really mean is not everybody there agreed with him all the time. This is a sham.
All right, with all due respect to Mr. Rather, his statement is a sham. He's not telling the truth. Here are the facts. After the presidential race between George Bush and John Kerry, the University of Connecticut surveyed 300 journalists nationwide. The study found that 52% of the journalists voted for Kerry. Just 19% went for Bush. The rest would not answer the question. In 2008, NBC News identified 143 journalists who made political contributions. 125 of them gave to the Democratic Party. Just 16 out of 143. Donated to the Republican Party. 2 gave to both parties. Also in 2008, the Pew Research Center studied 43 news outlets in America in the run-up to the Obama-McCain election. About 35% of the stories done on Barack Obama by those organizations were positive. Less than 20% were positive when it came to John McCain. Those are the facts, Mr. Rather, and they're grim if you believe the media should be fair and balanced. Just today, the website Politico ran a story about how the Washington Post is covering Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. Post reporter David Moranis has a new book out called Barack Obama, The Story. In that book, Moranis documents the president's drug use as a young man. It was extensive. The Washington Post ran that story on page 6. But earlier this month, the Post ran a 5,500-word story on page 1 detailing Mitt Romney's high school hazing resume. I mean, come on. Fair-minded people know that much of the media is actively working to see that Barack Obama is reelected. Dan Rather would never admit that, but it's absolutely true. So the question becomes, how much will the liberal press influence the election?
Our Republican Party was founded in 1854 by anti-slavery, well, I guess they must have been anti-slavery racists, who departed the Whig Party and opposed the pro-slavery Democrats. The first presidential candidate for the Republicans was John C. Fremont, known as the Pathfinder. The Democrats went into full fear-mongering mode on this guy and said to the people, hey, if you elect a Republican, slavery is all but over. Well, Fremont lost, but in 1860, the second Republican candidate, Abraham Lincoln, did win. Between the date of his election and his inauguration on Monday, March 4, 1861, seven of the slave states in the Deep South had left the Union to form the Confederacy, left it before he was even sworn in as president, because they knew that the rise of us racist Republicans meant the end of slavery in America. And it did, too. After the war ended, Lincoln was assassinated by Democratic activist John Wilkes Booth, and then the racist Republicans passed the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery, the 14th, providing due process and equal protection under the law, and the 15th Amendment, providing voting rights to blacks. The non-racist Democrats fought all of these things tooth and nail, and when the first black men were elected to Congress as racists, as Republicans, the Democrats got to work and founded the Ku Klux Klan to make sure it wouldn't happen again for a century. Democrats wrote the odious Jim Crow laws that kept blacks in position of slavery. All of those pictures that you've seen in the 1960s of people turning fire hoses and dogs on peaceful black marchers were unleashed by Democrats like Lester Maddox, Bull Connor, and George Wallace. You know, the great anti-slavery writer Frederick Douglass, also a racist Republican, once wrote, "I recognize the Republican Party as the sheet anchor of the colored man's political hopes in the arc of his safety, the arc of his safety." Now, of course, Democrats can't argue with this history, mostly because it's true, although that's not usually stopped them before. So what they say to justify this century of shame is that right around the time that they themselves, modern Democrats, came along, the parties mysteriously switched sides. Now, what really happened was that the loving, decent, progressive racism that's been a hallmark of the Democratic Party took a new and subtle form. They invented a new way to keep black people on the plantation, working for them, like they used to. They gave them free food, free housing, and free medical care in exchange not for a harvest of cotton, but rather a steady annual bumper crop of votes. And the way that they did this was by telling black Americans that the Republicans that had fought and died for their freedom were in fact the real racists, because we were against these new shackles like affirmative action and entitlement programs that keep them perpetually bound to their Democratic masters. Well, it's true, we are against them. We're against affirmative action because we see people as individuals, not as a bunch of sticks, good and bad individuals, and we don't see black people as being so inferior as to need lower test scores to get into college. We think they can do just as well or as poorly as anyone else. We so-called racist Republicans not only quote, but we actually believe the words of that great Republican who said that he had a dream that his four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. We believe that there is a word for people who are used by other people and provided in return with free food, free housing, and free medical care, and that word is slaves. And the Republican Party was, is, and always will be the party that frees the slaves.
On the radio, and we are back 10 minutes to the top of the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com, October the 23rd, 2012.
One of my favorite songs by Bush. Love that song.
if it, actually during the time that this song came out, I almost want to say a couple of months after it came out, it was a Molson Ice or a Molson a beer commercial. The commercial was a bunch of people on a plane flying somewhere, and when they whipped out some Molson and they were playing this song in the background, that was where I had heard it for the first time, and it's by Blur, and I love it. I love that song. I said Bush, didn't I? No, it's by Blur. I apologize. The song's by Blur. Love that song. Very, very energetic record. Anyway, so Mitt Romney is surging in the polls, and Barack Obama has not reached over 50%. And this, about the same time as John McCain was dealing with his issues during the 2008 election, you know, there was the infamous thing that was always talked about called the October Surprise. Now, I want to tell you, the big October Surprise in 2008 that was speculated was that someone had found a videotape of Michelle Obama talking about black people versus white people, or they called it the Whitey tape. And the tape never came out. It never materialized. It was the Whitey tape. Now, I know many people don't remember that far back. I do. It was the height of my career. It was. I'm not going to lie. WRKO was the height of my career. I'll always give them credit for that. It was the height of my career. AM radio, 10 to 12, before Rush Limbaugh, talking politics, talking about social issues, racism, and all that other stuff. It was the height of my career. Always will be. Loved doing what it is that I was doing there. The Whitey tapes, or the Whitey tape as they called it, was a big deal then. Did Michelle Obama at Princeton have some sort of Whitey tape where she was talking about how what the white man is oppressing the black man? How they were, you know, there was that Newsweek, excuse me, it wasn't Newsweek. The New Yorker had printed a cartoon of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. You can look this up. I'm not kidding. It was around, it was a Christmas tree sort of theme. And the whole deal was, Michelle Obama, in this particular cartoon, was wearing militant boots with a beret inside. She looked like a Black Panther. That was the whole deal. And it was deemed offensive. The New Yorker is not a right-wing conservative magazine. This is a left-wing, but they were trying to paint this. They thought it was ironic. You know, there are people trying to paint Michelle Obama as being some militant. That was the big October surprise. People were waiting for this. Is it true? Did it happen? All this other stuff. But it never materialized. So now Donald Trump is about to reveal tomorrow. With bated breath, I wait. About these interesting facts about Barack Obama. Something that everyone will be talking about, claiming pretty much that it will not be denied. Now, I have my predictions, folks. And I only have one. I can be wrong. I'm probably going to be wrong. But listen, I'm putting it down on the table now. JC, I want you as a witness. Justin, I want you as a witness right now. You guys are listening to my voice. I want you as a witness right now. I believe that Donald Trump has access to one of or any of Barack Obama's school records. Do you agree? Justin, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I do.
JC, do you think I'm wrong here?
That's plausible. I don't think you're wrong.
It's plausible, but do you think I'm right? This is about me.
Okay, being about you. Wow. I kind of really, I made myself, I didn't think of that. But, yeah, you could very well be right. Very rarely are you wrong about these things.
So you believe that there's a possibility that I could be right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think you are.
So you do believe that it might have to do with his college records. Now, look, I'm going to go
Let me say this. And
okay.
I say that to say
this. Or school records, I should say.
Yep, I say that to say this. I was thinking along the lines of he's going to have written proof, maybe in Barack's own handwriting from somewhere in his past, that he was that he's a foreigner.
So you think it has more to do with him being a foreigner?
Right. And school records could be it.
Okay, no, you're going a step further. Okay, I like where you're going with this.
I don't think that Donald Trump is going to give the birthing issue up that easy.
Okay, I get where you're coming from.
He hates to lose.
If I think you're right about this, here's what I think that you're saying: that you believe that what Donald Trump is going to reveal is what might be a school application of some sort, where Barack Obama or his family members wrote him as like country of origin being Kenya or Indonesia,
something of the sort. Yes.
Something of that nature, right?
Yes.
You know what? I will give you my 5 points credit if you're 100% right about this. I believe personally that it's going to be college records, like it's going to be something about transcripts as like how well he did in school, how smart he was, whether or not he went to class, things of that nature. But if you... I don't think it's a Kenya birth certificate. I think that's way too far.
I don't know if they have Kenya birth certificates. I don't think that T-Bark lasts that long.
You don't think that they have Kenya birth certificates?
Yeah, I don't think tree bark and charcoal last that long.
You don't believe what?
Tree bark and charcoal. I mean, if it was carved into a tree in Kenya, and who would have cared 49 years ago that he was born, you know?
Right.
What does a Kenyan birth certificate look like 49 years ago?
I don't know.
Let me tell you. I have a cousin that recently divorced a Ghanaian.
Okay.
And they didn't even have
a Ghanaian. I think they're Ghanaian.
Ghanaian, whatever. It's from Ghana. And I don't think they have birth certificates.
You don't believe that they have birth certificates? What do you think, that they write it in the dirt?
That's possible.
They put it
That's
in cement?
Are they probably
like they do in the hood?
Dyes? I don't know.
Do you think they do it like they do in the hood when somebody puts on fresh cement? You know, Boo Boo and Tiki were here.
Yeah, that's a possibility. But no. The reason I say that because when they were divorcing, before the divorce, when he was getting his trying to get him citizenship in his country, that was one of the things he could not produce.
I understand what you're saying, right?
Let me take that a step further. One of the reasons I think that they couldn't find one for him, and I'm gonna send you a short message there at the top. Give me one second here. I'm gonna send you a message.
Okay.
But I mean, you go on. But I'll explain to you why. I'm not going to explain to you over here because I don't want to set off any security, national security issues.
Okay.
I'm dead serious with this.
Well, I want to hear from the guys on this one on what they think the bombshell might be. So, Dennis the Mass Menace, if you're out there, I want to hear from you. And, of course, White Mike and Edward Connecticut and maybe even Sally D in Mass, you know, for somebody to give me an idea of what this might be. We'll go to the top of the hour. We'll try to figure this out on what it might be. Plus, we've got some other issues, of course. We have to talk about Reese on the radio TV. When we get back, stick around. It's the top of the hour.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it. I love it. L-O-V-E-I-T.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. The death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Running down a dream, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. It'll always be my theme. I know a lot of people don't understand. It's like, why does he keep playing it? Like, it's really not a great song. Oh, yes, that is. It is a great theme. Running down a dream. If anybody out there wants to do something with their lives, they understand what that song means. Running down the dream. I love it to death. Anyway, so Donald Trump is going to be exposing, I guess again, I use the word bombshell. He did not. I use it, the word bombshell. It probably won't be a bombshell. It'll probably be something that'll make us go, what? That's exactly what I'm expecting my response to be. What?
Hey, did you get my message?
I saw it. It says, okay. Should I look it up right now?
Yeah, you're going to freak out.
Okay, so if I look this up, you're saying I'm going to be freaked out. Do you think this has something to do with Donald Trump's bombshell?
No, not necessarily Donald Trump. No. I mean, what I was talking about not having birth certificates in Ghana. I mean, in Ghana or in possible Kenya.
And you believe that if I go to Facebook and look up this name, I'm going to see something striking.
Yeah, you're going to see something very shocking.
And I'm looking this up. Now, I can't tell the audience what this name is that you're making me look up?
No.
Okay.
Because it's a real person that I know.
Okay, now... Okay, is this the... Okay, if I look up the name, what I want to ask you is the name that I'm looking up, is this in Brescia?
What do you mean?
Lives in.
No, they're actually here in Connecticut.
Okay,
but you'll see what I mean. You'll see what I mean when you look it up.
Well, I'm looking for Connecticut, and I'm not seeing anything.
You're not going to see anything. But don't you see a million and one of them?
Oh, there's a whole bunch.
Yeah. What are the chances?
I understand. Okay, I gotcha, I gotcha, I gotcha.
They're all from, if you look at every one of them, they're all from Ghana, Africa.
So you're saying that in this particular case, that a lot of people have that same name, so in some sort of way it could be falsified.
Right, exactly.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay, that makes a little bit of sense. Let me go to the guys here, because I want to see whether or not they think that I might be, what they might think that might be off the wall here as far as Donald Trump's proclamation that is going to happen tomorrow. Let's go to Edward in Connecticut. Edward, what do you think? Am I right here? Do you think JC might be a little more on point? Do you think this might be like college transcript, Occidental, Columbia, Harvard? What do you think it'll be?
I think it's going to be a bunch of nonsense.
Edward, come on! You're supposed to be seething about this. You're supposed, like, your mouth is supposed to be watering about this.
I don't trust anything Donald Trump says. You know, the guy's an idiot. He blew his load a long time ago when it comes to national politics. He's probably going to pull out some nonsense that's got to do with some show he's going to be producing or some other nonsense.
You think he's going to say that Barack Obama is going to be the next Celebrity Apprentice?
Or something like that, yeah. whoever loses is going to get an automatic invitation to Celebrity Apprentice.
You know what? I'm sorry, Edward. I'm actually going to give you more cred than I'm giving JC on this one, because that seems way more plausible, all things considered. That might be true.
But you know what? Let's just not hope it's Donald Trump's Al Capone's vault.
Oh, you know, I hope that's not the case. Let's bring in Joe from Michigan. Joe, do you think, are you interested in the Donald Trump revelation proclamation tomorrow in any way whatsoever?
You know, I'm actually kind of concerned because
really?
I'm hoping Trump isn't going to do something stupid. And that's whether it be putting something out there that's false and then it's proven to be false and then the media is all over it and then it drags Mitt's poll numbers down. Yeah, or whether he, I don't know what his intentions are. I don't know. I just really hope he doesn't do something stupid, and that's my fear.
Well,
as Edward said, I believe I kind of share the same fear as Edward here on this. I just hope that it's nothing stupid. I hope it can be something that can be proven to be accurate. If it's groundbreaking and it's a shell bomb and it's, you know, and it's something that can make headway in this election for Mitt, great. But at this point, given Trump's past history, I'm just a little worried about it, to be quite honest.
Yeah, the thing about this is, and you're absolutely right, because there were rumors today, Joe and Edward, there were rumors today that said that I think Politico or another media group had said that they had gotten a scoop on this Donald Trump revelation that's going to happen tomorrow. And the scoop was something about that there were some reports that Barack Obama may have been involved with cocaine selling at Columbia University. And,
well, that's positive then, obviously, for our cause.
Well, no. But the truth is that from what we've heard so far, the Romney campaign is saying that if indeed that is true, they are not going to make that. They're not going to politicize cocaine selling by the president of the United States. That if that were the case, that they were not going to use that as a platform to bash or besmirch the president of the United States. But then Donald Trump sent out a tweet earlier today and said everyone's speculating on what the bombshell is going to be or what the revelation is going to be. It's not it. You have to wait and see. Now, look, if it is that Barack Obama sold cocaine in college, if truly that is the facts, there's only one thing that makes that horrible, okay, for Donald Trump. One,
There's no way to prove it without an arrest record. Unless Donald Trump can say he has an arrest record. Like, he can prove that Barack Obama was arrested, whether or not he was released and not charged, or whatever the case may have been. That's the only way that he can really damage him. So that's why I believe that maybe that's not true, and whoever this political writer was or whatever might be jumping the gun on this whole deal. Because the political writer or whomever it was, and I'm almost certain it's political, who's saying, oh, it's a non-starter. We all know that the president sniffed cocaine and he smoked marijuana, and his constituents, nor do his supporters seem to care. So I don't think Donald Trump would come back with a story that's, in essence, dead in the water.
Right. Like I said, my concern is that it's not going to do anything. I just don't want anything done that could perhaps reverse this net trend. And that's my concern. Because
yes, the mainstream media will take this story. If it has no legs,
correct.
If it's preposterous, if it's over the top, if it's speculative at best, people like MSNBC will take it and bash Mitt Romney for Donald Trump as being a surrogate. It
correct.
Will hurt and Mitt Romney in the end, and it will in some way attach itself to Mitt Romney by saying these are lowball tactics, and one of your surrogates applied this to President Obama, and we hate you and your surrogates for doing it.
Correct.
Like, you know, Andrea Mitchell, who tried to attach Mitt Romney to the word lazy when John Sununu, former governor of New Hampshire, said that Barack Obama was lazy, you know, saying that that was some sort of racial epithet. And that's what it is. And you're absolutely right, Joe. You're absolutely right. Because if it doesn't pan out to be something concrete, it could hurt him. It could hurt Mitt Romney.
To be quite honest, I think that, and I have a feeling that it, I don't have a good feeling about it, not that feelings mean anything, but my instinct is telling me that Trump better keep his mouth shut. Because whatever he has to say, I have my doubts about it. Given his track record, that's all I'm saying.
Let's go to Edward. Let's go to Edward on this. Edward, let's be honest. Donald Trump, although he may be deemed a spectacle, he may be a circus act, but he succeeded. Everything he touches turns to gold. Can we really write him off here?
No, that's not exactly true about everything he touches turns to gold.
He's had some failings in the past, but right now, the man's sitting on top of the world. He forced the Obama administration. This is a citizen of the United States, a regular citizen not running for office, who forced the president to reveal his birth certificate. He pushed this guy. So we have to give, I don't want to give him all the credibility, but I want to give him some semblance of credibility here.
Yeah, but I mean, he pushed his birth certificate thing so hard, and then, you know, he actually came out with it, and what happened after, you know, there was really nothing of it.
And it really made Republicans look foolish in the end. It didn't. Obviously, Trump looked like a fool, but who did it go back on when Republicans weren't even saying that to begin with? But they're thinking that there's this underground political ploy that's going on where Republicans are putting
Joe,
these
people
up
now.
To it.
Joe, hold on now. The birther issue never stuck to Republicans. If it did, the only person who's pushing that narrative is guys like Chris Matthews. It's not sticking to the mainstream media. It's not. It hasn't stuck with them because they're not using it today. Because, trust me, their desperation to reelect this president, they would still be using it today. The only guys using it are guys like Al Sharpton and Chris Matthews, who are, you know, would be deemed extreme left. They're the only ones using it as a backup plan to call anybody on the right racist or throw Donald Trump into the mix. I think people are actively fearful of what they're going to realize, and then on the other hand, conservatives are very skeptical about what he's going to reveal. Will it be enough? Will it be that damaging? Is he just trying to garner attention? What's he doing?
Agreed. And going off of that, though, I was looking at a number of polls regarding last night's debate, and 35% of the people polled said that Mitt Romney attracted their vote more than did Barack Obama, which he came out with 24% in the end.
Right.
So there's 11%. There's 11% difference there. And the CBS poll was conducted. Actually, it was a focus group rather, and it was conducted right outside of Youngstown. I don't recall the exact name of the town, but Mitt Romney took the debate just for looking presidential because that was the name of the third debate. The first debate was primarily substance. The second debate, because and as it was analyzed by McGullough, even said the first debate was the debate to win. That's where all the substance should have come out. The second, every debate thereafter is just style, because nothing is watched more than the first debate.
Right.
And in the first debate, Mitt Romney hit 6 home runs. The last two debates, you know, Obama maybe hit 1. So in the polls, there was an analyst for John King, an analyst for CNN, a political analyst. He said, if Mitt Romney's trends, they're slowly but surely creeping, if they keep creeping upward, and because Obama's doing nothing but losing ground right now, and Romney's doing nothing but gaining. So if this trend occurs, he says, Mitt Romney will be the next president of the United States. And there was almost this kind of, you know, you could tell this tense environment going on in the CNN newsroom, but they know it. And my fear is that, and I know it probably sounds odd coming from me, but whatever, I don't care. I told you my story last night.
Right.
My fear is that it will this Trump guy is going to ruin that. And I really don't want to see that happen. Like I said, I don't know the scoop. I don't know. My fear is that what he has doesn't have legs or may not be exactly solid factually. That's my fear, given, you know, what some of the things he's come out with.
Right. No, I trust me, Joe. In that argument, as you just expressed, I agree with you there, because I'm worried about whether or not Donald Trump will be, if what he brings out is trivial, it will be ignored and then attributed to the Romney campaign and derail the campaign in and of itself.
Correct.
Let's bring Dennis the Mass Medicine. Dennis, what do you think about the Donald Trump thing? Do you think it's going
no
to be...
No one's talking about what the British press is saying, speculating that the first couple were headed for a divorce.
Well, no one's talking about that.
And also, what's Gloria Allred going to do in Canton Court tomorrow?
Oh, that's right. Well, we know what Gloria Allred's going to do. She's going to bring up an old story that came out 5-6 years ago about Mitt Romney counseling somebody in the Mormon church about not having an abortion.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah,
no, there's nothing
but
wrong.
But I have a confession to make. I've decided I've had a change of heart like Joe. I've decided to support the Democrat.
For what?
Well, there's only one Democrat that can only be to represent this country and lead it forward, and that's Zell Miller.
I love him. What's his plan for military defense? Spitball?
He's going to be bringing what are you going to do, hit him with a broom, or what the hell is it? he's going to be bringing the horses and...
The bayonets?
And the bayonets to play.
Sally D in Massachusetts is on the line with us. Sally, do you think that Donald Trump has got anything that's going to be legitimate tomorrow? Do you think it's just going to be spectacle?
No, I think he's got something, but I don't think it's drug-related, and here's why.
Okay.
You have to look at it from the perspective of, even if this thing with Obama was a cocaine charge that he was arrested for, The only play that's going to get are the voters that are probably socially conservative anyway. They're already on Romney's side. Now, what you could end up doing with a drug story is inflaming libertarians or people who are more of modern thinking, in that, you know, you don't condemn somebody on a drug charge for the rest of their life. And they could actually take that out at the polls, that anger. And Trump's a bright guy, so I don't think that's what it is. I do believe this is the birth certificate issue. And the reason
you think it's good directly to the birth certificate. You don't think he's going to let that go.
Not only do I not think he's not going to let it go, I'm still not sold. I'm still not sold because there are just things about this birth certificate in terms of, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist when it comes to this thing, but there are just really crazy things. Like the Social Security number he's got wasn't even issued to people in that location. There are layers on the document that you would never have had in an old document, and they tried to make the claim that scanning software would add those layers. That's not true unless you're using a heavy-duty Photoshop-like application, which they would not do to scan in a birth certificate. So there are just so many things about this that were... But here's the reality of it, and here's the follow-up. So I think he's going to bring something substantive to the table, and I think it'll be ignored totally. Because... The people,
Donald Trump seems to believe otherwise. Now, this is the reason why I don't think it has anything to do with the birth certificate. Now, bottom line is, and hear me out, guys, because I'm going to take each and every one of your I'm going to get your survey individually from this. But this is why I believe it has nothing to do with the birth certificate. Donald Trump, after the birth certificate issue or during the birth certificate issue, I want to say the latter part of the issue, Donald Trump had a press conference where he said that he spoke to several people, and he said that when Barack Obama was at Occidental, and he was at Harvard and at Columbia, that he was not a good student, that he wasn't that good of a student. In fact, I believe the quote was, and I'm paraphrasing as best I can, but I believe he said he wasn't that great of a student. Donald Trump made a big issue about that at the latter part of the birth certificate media storm or, you know, that was going on. And many people have asked the question about why has Barack Obama's transcripts, his applications, whatever it was, why those things were so secretive and why President Obama spent so much money keeping those things secret. I believe the number was somewhere in upwards of $4 million. And I believe that Donald Trump is harped on that. Donald Trump has the power, has the money, and has the resources to get that information in those establishments because of the money that he's donated, the money he's been able to contribute to those establishments and the friends that he's gained, those who come out to, you know, Mar-a-Lago and, you know, his golf courses across the country, you know, even abroad, that he's been able to influence these people and say, hey, listen, man, you've got a lot of money. You've got a business. This guy's going to kill him. Help me. Let's get this guy out of there and use his influence to do that. I believe that what he's going to establish to the American people when it comes out tomorrow is more going to be about these transcripts that no one has been able to obtain and bring question. And might attribute to what it is you guys, what you're saying, Sal, about this whole deal about his birth certificate and stuff like that, or his place of origin, his birth of origin, origin of birth, I should say. I believe that it will raise those questions and say, did Barack Obama do what Elizabeth Warren did in Boston by claiming, you know, Cherokee Indian, this is the template of liberals, they use these, you know.
No, he claimed to be Italian.
Yeah. Yeah, did he use these sort of faux representations of himself to get certain privilege? That would question the credibility of the president. I think in both ways, I think we're all right in some way.
Or
I think
that
Donald Trump is going to reveal
a foreign student.
Say again, Dennis?
Or that perhaps he was listed as a foreign student.
Right.
That's
right.
Back to birth.
And then,
right, exactly.
And then the onus is on the president to talk about it and to
right.
just throw it out there.
Especially if it's something that's been written in his handwriting. And to go back to what Sal was saying, Donald Trump hates to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he absolutely hates to lose.
And they made him look like he was losing on the Bertha issue earlier in the spring.
It was embarrassing.
When it seemed like he had to back down. He doesn't.
However.
He must have Irish Alzheimer's. Forget everything about Rudge.
But see, you got to understand with Donald Trump as well. The fact that he got Obama to move, or got under the skin enough to where Obama came out even with the fake birth certificate. After analyzing it and looking at it myself, I believe it's fake. But to even move him enough to come out and even stick that on the White House website shows that he has ways and means of getting under his skin. We're very close to the election, and now would be the time for him to strike.
Yeah, I think he's going to strike. I think he's going to strike. Seriously here, I think it's going to be a combination of the two. Because remember, when Breitbart.com came out with that, with his bio from his publisher, and you guys remember that, he had a bio that he wrote himself from his publisher when he came out with, when he wrote the book Dreams for My Father, and he wrote Kenyan-born, Indonesian, and Hawaii-raised. People ignored it because they didn't want to bring it up because it was like, oh, just a typo. Someone else wrote it. You know, Barack Obama had nothing to do with it. And no matter what Breitbart did, it was ignored. Nobody wanted to touch it. And, of course, President Obama got a pass. If Donald Trump is going to come out there, who's the guy who I believe, in a publicity sense, he's a publicity hound. He knows how to get the cameras on
him. Absolutely.
And if he's going to reveal something, it won't be ignored. It, as he said on Fox and Friends when he first revealed this, you will not ignore this. I have a little more confidence in him than maybe Joe does, and maybe even Edward for that matter. I have a little more confidence about the public relations machine that Trump is. I have a little more faith.
Let's take this one step further. I believe the Romney camp was tipped off to this prior to the debate, and that is why Romney came out the way he did. I don't believe it was just a matter of protecting the lead. And although I thought that was savvy, I do believe there's more going on. They knew something, and they felt that if they played it safe, on top of whatever Trump's going to do on Wednesday, he probably contacted them and said, look, this is what I have for the debate. I know he's going up on me. I would not.
That's certainly feasible. And, you know, if that's the case, it certainly would make a lot of sense. But if there's some closure put on this, it's my thoughts then turn to, okay, you put Obama on the defensive about his origin of birth, and now what do we do in terms of impeachment? It's so close to the election. Do we just let it slide and then bring him up on criminal charges afterward? I know I'm probably jumping the gun on this, but, you know, that means a repeal of everything that he's ever done in office, which is, you know, for the most part a good thing. So what I'm trying to get at is what ramifications is this going to have, in your guys' opinion, if this does go true and if it is proven to be legitimate?
Well, that's
the all I know is that I'm still in shock.
Right.
And I don't know how to handle this when yesterday I saw Reese on the radio TV and I didn't know you were black.
Crispy.
I mean, next you'll be telling me that Mary's white. That was a great clip, by the way, with the flag and the whole thing. I hope you have a chance to talk about that later.
Oh, out of New York. It was a little had a little bit of flair to it.
Oh, yeah.
So, saying, all right, hypothetically, Trump's story plays even, everything goes, you know, let's just say hypothetically this doesn't have too much bearing on the election, which it probably will. Your election day predictions.
McCain. Right now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let the other guy, I'm going to let everybody else dominate the rest of this, because I'm going to be brief. You know this whole argument about no Republican has ever won the election unless he's won Ohio. Right. That's the big argument that everyone's pushing. I believe that this election is different. I believe that Romney is going to lose Ohio and win the election, turning that whole sort of that ideal on its ear. I believe that Barack Obama is going to win Ohio for several reasons. One, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Yorktown, and Dayton.
And
those areas have a strong majority of African Americans, and Barack Obama is going to win that state. But that being said, Obama's already lost Colorado. He's lost North Carolina. He's about to lose Virginia. And I believe that the electoral vote, honestly, the electoral count will be Mitt Romney winning in spite of losing Ohio.
How about Pennsylvania? Could it be a pickup?
Oh, he's going to win Pennsylvania without a doubt. Ed Meek has all but endorsed Mitt Romney. He's all but endorsed Mitt Romney. And I believe the governor of Pennsylvania. I said Ed Meek.
Former,
not Ed.
Former governor Ed Rendell?
Ed Rendell, yes. Former governor Ed Rendell.
Really?
I believe he's all but
the former
endorsed.
Former mayor of Philadelphia also.
That's right. I believe he's all
That's
but endorsed
news.
Mitt Romney because I believe that the policies for Philadelphia, look, Nutter, Mayor Nutter, has no pull in Philadelphia. They hate him.
Not
there.
Even pulling up his pants so they won't have his pants falling down like he made that.
Mayor
you
Nutter
know what
has no pull. I believe
be
that Mayor Nutter.
You're right. I mean, obviously, if Pennsylvania goes to Romney, that completely counteracts Ohio and the election's over
Ed
as well.
Ed Rendell is a very likable guy.
He is a likable guy. But if you paid attention to Ed Rendell, Ed Rendell did something earlier this year that completely – remember, he was the one guy, unlike Cory Booker, who didn't get thrown to the woodshed over Mitt Romney and Bain Capital. Remember, when Cory Booker
– you think that Rendell could be looking for the bipartisan appointment to the cabinet thing?
Exactly what I'm talking about. Think about what I'm saying. Cory Booker is so partisan, right? When he came out and said that he didn't like the divisiveness, okay, of the Bain Capital attacks and corporate bunglers or what was it, the venture capitalists and all that stuff, and Cory Booker said it was disgusting, he got taken to the woodshed and he had to come out. He was held hostage and they come up with that. Ed Rendell said the same thing on Meet the Press and no one said a word to him. No
really?
One called him on it. No one made him change his position. But he went out there and he did what he had to do. Ed Rendell is looking for one thing, himself, and he will tell any son of a gun out there in the political world, if you're doing nothing for me, I do nothing for you. It's about me first. And Ed Rendell is that guy. Why do I know he's that guy? Because that Ed Rendell is a Clinton far removed, if you get my meaning.
Mm.
He's a Clinton. He follows
Doesn't
the Clinton
the question,
rule
why
of politics.
Trump come out with all of this stuff swinging to Romney's favor, why does Trump come forward now and jeopardize that momentum?
Precisely, and that's what I'm saying.
Because Trump doesn't care about anything other than himself.
See, that's my point. Edward said something like he doesn't believe that what Donald Trump is going to do is significant. It won't impact
him. I'm going to tell you, what is he looking for? What's his business? Now, remember,
Donald Trump?
Follow the money. It's not what it appears to be. He wants a casino. And where is the place that he wants to build that casino? Chicago.
Does he really?
And who makes the okay for Chicago is Rahm Emanuel. Maybe he's doing it for the appearance to help Mitt, really to screw Mitt, to help Obama, because it comes down to money.
Oh,
it's just
no,
a guess.
I don't like that idea. Come on, Dennis. Now you're going nuts. You're going way off the
deep end. Well, I've been listening to your
one.
Show for months, and I've, you know, it's melted my brain.
No. But I think you're
not. But that was speculation earlier in the year.
I don't have a good feeling about this. I think that Trump.
Michael Savage
is the
one that is where I heard this from.
I don't believe that. Listen, Michael Savage is kind of a wingnut here, and nothing against the guy. He was on my network in WRKO. I respect him for what it is that he's been able to do. He's the pioneer.
So he's the Alex Jones of early evening radio.
I like Alex Jones. I'm not saying I don't like Michael Savage for that matter.
Okay.
I believe Michael Savage is a little far-fetched here.
I want to throw something else out. How's this sound? President Romney and Vice President Biden. That's the ticket.
That's
and it could happen if it went a tie. Because the House picks the president and the Senate, and it looks like it's a trend Democrat, would pick the vice president. And if it was a tie in the Senate, Biden would be the tiebreaker to vote for.
Whoa, but hold on. Let me ask you that. That's a great question. In fact, you know what? It's such a great question, I got to save it for the next break. Because you just mentioned something that I wanted to ask, because I heard that story before. I want to ask you this, guys, and I want you to think about this. I really want you to think about this, okay? The Senate picks who the vice president is if it's a dead heat, if it's a tie. 270-270.
269-269. 270 is the magic number.
But truth is, do you really believe that the Senate would pick Biden as the vice president? Would we have a Lincoln-Johnson presidency
we had a Jefferson Adams presidency, and they ran
we had a Jefferson Adams, the most recent Republican Democrat president,
Lincoln
vice president
Johnson.
Respectively was Lincoln Johnson. So could
but Lincoln picked Johnson. It wasn't out in from the Congress.
No, but
Lincoln
I'm saying
picked Johnson because he wanted a unified ticket to unite the country.
That?
He picked
again,
Johnson
that
because
well,
he
Lincoln,
wanted a
Lincoln
united
was
country.
Lincoln was hoping to bring the Southern Democrats back in.
Right, exactly.
You know, for Reconstruction purposes. Because,
well,
you know,
he wanted
this,
a very bipartisan.
Correct. For Reconstruction.
That was his whole deal.
Plus, he
anyway,
wanted to get beat by the
for about 2 minutes.
He wanted to show the South that it wasn't going to be kind of this dictatorial, totalitarian kind of.
Exactly. He wanted a very,
kind of
very democratic process. That was the whole
correct.
Deal.
Right,
and
we'll
then again, it could also, if it's 269 each, nobody says you don't have a faithless elector. Because these guys, you know, are not bound for the candidate, they're free agents.
Well,
the tradition
well,
is that you
that.
Vote for who you vote, who gets takes your state, but they don't have to.
We'll go into that a little more in depth when we come back. Stick around, guys. We'll be right back at Teresa on the Radio, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Know that you don't have
Some of my favorite artists are white men. Love Johnny Cash. Love Elvis Presley. Really love Elvis Presley. Big Elvis Presley fan. I don't talk about that a lot. Although I like the hippity hop. I really, really love Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash. I grew up on them, and, you know, it's a long story, but I won't get into that. Anyway, truth be told. Anyway, nonetheless, look, a lot of people are talking about, you know, and I've heard this often, that if it were to go down to the wire and the House of Representatives were to elect Mitt Romney as president and the Senate were to elect the vice president, people say that it would be Biden because they are the nominee. I have a strange belief, folks, that the Senate would possibly try to overturn that. Am I insane in suggesting that, or is that a possibility? And I want to go, I guess, in some sense, I don't know whether or not you guys are what would be considered political scholars here, because I know I'm not. But Sal, is there a possibility that the Senate would elect someone else other than Biden, or would they just try to keep Biden in there to keep things leaning towards them as far as the Senate was concerned?
No, you threw me with the Elvis thing. I was going to tell a quick story. So you know about the Elvis-Nixon meeting, right?
Yeah, I know. He came with a gun.
And did you know that the Secret Service knew Elvis was high as a guy? And they were all terrified when he brought the gun.
Oh, absolutely.
I still laugh about that. But because he was Elvis, he could pull it off. No one else in the world could ever do that, you know?
That's why he's an icon. That's why he's a god.
Absolutely. I'm a huge, huge Elvis fan. Huge Elvis fan. So, you know, I think it's all speculation. I don't think it will ever happen. I
don't think so.
I just don't see it happening. I think the idea is, to, regardless of the election results, to move the country forward, and you're not going to do that with that pairing, that's for sure.
I would agree. I'd have to say that it's a very improbable scenario, but if it were to happen, I think that depending upon the majority in the Senate, which is leaning Democratic at this point, they're going to the I just see if that were to play out, I would perhaps, you know, it would empty suit. They would just, you know, plan for a pawn. That's very plausible. But like I said, and others, I just don't see that scenario playing out. What I think is interesting, though, is that, and kind of going off of the Pennsylvania Rendell analysis, in Virginia, like you said, Romney's making headway there. And he's able to pull resources now out of North Carolina. He's gradually pulling resources out of Florida because Obama really has conceded both of those states.
Right.
And I think if he can apply mass amounts of pressure in Pennsylvania, particularly in the population center in Philadelphia, he could flip the state. And then Ohio would be irrelevant. I think that that's an interesting analysis. Perhaps even concentrating ads in the Milwaukee area in Wisconsin. Maybe even because that's well within – it only has Obama by two points, all polls consistently. So hypothetically, if Romney can get Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, that would be great. But I think the Pennsylvania analysis is really interesting.
I believe that too. But here's a scenario that I would like to at least suggest. I believe that the Senate, if it were to come down to the wire, right, 269 and 269, as Dennis suggested, I believe that they would ask Biden to step aside and let Harry Reid take it.
Interesting.
Where's the constitutional basis?
I don't think
he
that would
on the ballot. He has no electors.
Right.
Well, okay, fine. So constitutionally, he wouldn't be able to do it?
I'm not saying that. I just said he had no electors.
Right.
Having said that, would the Constitution necessarily say the Senate had to pick from the choices they have on the ballot or go outside the box?
Well, this Senate would not.
And that would be the same thing for the House.
Right. Well, the House would totally reject the idea of Harry Reid ever being.
No. The House has no say in the vice president.
Well, no, no, I'm saying.
I'm saying
I know
the
House
would
reject.
I'm saying.
I know they would reject it and they have no power to do so. But I'm almost certain if anybody were to be that candidate, if it were to come down to that, they would want Biden to be there.
No, I'd agree. I think that perhaps he probably has a lot of personal enemies given his personality.
Biden is very well liked in the Senate.
You believe that Biden is liked
guy.
In the Senate?
Very much so. He's one of the nicest guys around.
Nonetheless,
away
he,
from the politics. The problem was he ran into 4 years ago. He really didn't want to leave. He thought that he could still be, or was it someone else? One of them thought they could still be part of the Senate group, and he said, "No, you're vice president now. See ya. You just preside."
right. Absolutely.
I don't know if it was Al Gore or if it was Biden. I'm getting a senior moment.
I think.
You remember
that
one of them said, you know, now that I'm the vice president, I'd still like to, even though I have floor privileges, I'd like to be really part of the committees and et cetera, et cetera. And they said, no, you're part of the executive branch now. See ya. You were a senator. You're only the president of the Senate now, and that's it. The Senate is very jealous of his prerogatives.
So I just want to ask real quick, did you guys think Romney lost that debate like people are spinning it? Because
absolutely not.
No. And I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. Romney was on policy. He did what he needed to do, tying everything back to economics.
Exactly
how he needed to. I think that in terms of style, the media was looking at Obama the attack dog. They want to see Obama the attack dog. And ever since Romney handed him his ass, so to speak, at the first
and
debate.
And, Joe, you know what they were waiting for? They were waiting for Romney to take the Benghazi bait.
Correct.
So he could. So
correct.
Obama can say, how dare you play politics with dead people,
right,
or dead Americans? That's what Mitt wasn't going to do. He wasn't playing the gotcha game.
No, agreed.
No, agreed.
And I think in terms of Benghazi, I think that the Romney campaign was brilliant. They didn't touch on it. I was watching because I like to watch multiple networks after to get, you know, the gist of what everyone's saying. CNN was saying they were being an advocate for talking about Benghazi. Why wasn't he talking about Benghazi? There's this Libya issue going on, and these are the same detractors of Romney who are just, you know, who were just yesterday or a few hours earlier saying, downplaying the effects of Benghazi. So I think that it was a really strategically, comprehensive move on the Romney campaign. Not only did they get the media starting to backpedal and talk about it on their own accord, but I mean, if you look at the attractionability of each candidate, Romney's scores went through the roof, and he attracted more independent voters. That's all that counts.
Food for thought on this, because the reason I raised that issue is it's entirely possible that Trump's announcement may be some blockbuster on the Libya scandal. And if it is, it would make total sense why Romney just didn't even go there. I mean, it was almost as if...
Yeah, let somebody else do it. I didn't do it. My hands are clean. And the information is out there.
You know,
right.
There's a possibility that Trump's uncovered something that, you know, maybe there was some, you know, the whole thing I heard somebody mention.
He found out it was Bush's fault.
The Cybertron. So who knows? Who knows? But at the end of the day, I thought Romney was smart about it. And I think he hit him really hard in a very calm way. So
I would agree.
Let's go to Edward. Edward, you've been quiet so far. You don't, with all of this discussion, Edward, you do not believe that Donald Trump is going to have something significant to say whatsoever?
Absolutely not. And even if he does something, like I think Sal just said, he has some blockbuster in Libya scandal, you know, what kind of person would hold such information to do it in a huge press conference on Wednesday? If it's something that is so, you know, debilitating to the presidency, it shows the incompetence of this administration, you should let it out as soon as you found out about it. Not, you know, put on a circus on Wednesday.
Okay, right.
So
no,
Edward,
then
you're saying that the people would see right through Donald Trump and saying this is election bullshit and take it for what it's worth.
Right. But no. I believe, listen to me, I'm telling you, guys, I know this to be true. I feel that Donald Trump, because he's talked so often, in the latter part of the birth certificate sort of debate, that he talked about President Obama's college records. And that has been something that people were bringing up every time the Obama campaign talked about Mitt Romney's tax records, right? Because, I mean, even I posted on Facebook, I remember this, you know, very well. I said, look, I'll disclose, you know, Romney should expose 12 years of his tax records if Obama will expose 4 years at one school, you know, or 4 years at two schools. I'll give all of that up. Of course, Romney never took the bait. He never ever did it. He never said it. His surrogates never said it. Maybe Sununu brought it up, I think, once. But I think that what Donald Trump may have discovered was in some way something that would discredit the president on how smart he really is. Donald Trump doesn't like President Obama for one reason and one reason alone. And that is, there are too many people out there who say that Barack Obama is the smartest guy in the room. And I believe that Donald Trump likes exposing people who aren't that smart, who are deemed as smart and not that smart, and Donald Trump is going to go out there and expose this guy is less than a C student. You know, remember when George W. Bush, it was revealed that, what, at Yale, that he was a C student? People said, oh, he was a C student, but then later on it was found out that he had better college grades than Al Gore. John Kerry. He had a better grade point average than John Kerry. I think that it has something to do with Occidental. I think the Occidental thing is where this is going to go. And maybe, I don't know if it's Harvard or Columbia. I'm almost certain it's Harvard. But I think that what we're going to hear is Occidental and Harvard coming out, and what Barack Obama did there as a student, whether or not he was there, he was present, whether or not he went to class, whether or not he got good grades, whether or not he was a joke. I think it has something on that. Or it might, I mean, it's got to be something about that, because I think Donald Trump has been harping on that.
Or maybe the circumstances where both of them had voluntarily gave up their law license.
That's another point.
Now
that is a really legitimate point, I find.
Yeah, that would be impressive if that were the case. What caused them to give up their law licenses has been a point of contention for a lot of people.
Well, you know,
even Bill Clinton, when he lost his license, did everything to get it back.
Before you close tonight, I just wanted to say something, if I might, talking about people who become men. And it's difficult for people, especially young people, to admit they make a mistake. And to come on a public broadcast like this and admit they made a mistake, and for all the world to know, is a sign of maturity and a sign of being a man. And I want to take my hat off to Justin tonight.
Oh, well, absolutely. I love that young man. Justin, you still there?
Yeah.
I echo exactly what Dennis said. It's an impressive thing, and it's been brilliant. We praised Joe yesterday. I don't know if you listened to the show. We gave him the harps and the pomp and circumstance. Yesterday, Edward is still giving me hell about that.
Did Justin get a hop?
Okay, well, I'll definitely do that, Dennis.
What kind of a hat do you wear during the show? I'm just curious.
What kind of a hat?
We said he'd take it off his hat to him. Do you wear his hat during the show, Dennis?
Well, yeah, it was a toupee.
Yeah, bringing up, though, that I think Dennis made a very valid point, because there's this very very intimate relationship between the Obamas and Valerie Jarrett. And going off of that point, back in the mid-90s, actually, Valerie Jarrett first met the Obamas, and Obama was actually teaching at Columbia part-time constitutional law, and things weren't going well for them. And then they came into contact, they gravitated toward each other because Valerie Jarrett, international student, she was in Iran, and kind of the same background, if you will, as Barack Obama. So they kind of gravitated toward each other. But in that process, they started to siphon money out of the federal government to construct these slums, if you will. Initially, they weren't deemed as slums, but they became dilapidated, federal regulations fell through. And there's also talk about Barack Obama's involvement with the mob in Chicago and these slums.
So do you think Tony Rusco might have said something?
Tony Rusco was downplayed in 08, just like Jeremiah Wright The Weather Underground. For Pete's sake, Barack Obama said to a foreign leader. Yeah.
The Justin Joe theme. Or the Joe Justin theme.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Reese on the Radio. We're waiting for the bombshell. We'll see what Donald Trump has to say. We will see you then. Same bat time, same bat channel. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for everybody for joining in. We will talk to you then. Reese on the Radio. Come on, guys.